Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at what John taught when he said, "Whoever is born of God overcomes the world." So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, again together. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, over the last several broadcasts, we've been looking closely at just what John meant in verse 4 when he said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Now, we saw on our last broadcast that faith is our confidence that we have in the promises of God, to the point that we are then free from the evils of this world that a lack of faith produces. In other words, the reason that people continue on in ungodly lives is because they do not trust in the promises of God. And so by trusting in those promises, we are then free to live lives of radical love and risk-taking faith that will bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in 1 John, the apostle is telling us that one of the biggest problems, one of the most egregious sins that we can commit in this life, is to love this present evil world, to love that which is passing away, to be caught up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. So, for example, for us to love money, or for us to engage ourselves in covetousness, or for us to not be content with what God has already provided for us, is to sin horribly against God and His holiness. And so we should fear that we might engage in those sins a whole lot more than we need to fear about our own safety or about not having enough possessions or about whether our bodies are always healed. And so faith, true faith, biblical faith, the kind of faith that has as its object Jesus Christ and not more of this world's goods, will bring us into full and complete confidence in what God has promised, so that by this faith we will not be entangled in the affairs of this life. This is the way that we overcome the world. Now, there's a whole lot of teaching about faith today, dear friends, in the modern church, but much that is being taught about faith is a terrible perversion of what true faith really is. We have to understand on a fundamental level that faith is not a tool that we can learn how to use to manipulate God into giving us what we want. You simply cannot get more off base than to think that that is what faith is. We have to realize, dear friends, that for the most part, those of us who have been born and raised in the United States are blinded to just how sinful the love of the world and the love of money and covetousness and materialism really is to God. And that's because this nation is so enormously blessed, so unbelievably prosperous, and we are taught from our childhood to go out and fulfill our dreams and to get as much as we can, and that the man with the most toys at death wins. But that spirit is not godly at all. It is ungodly, as defined by God Himself. And so there is much about the American dream that is wrong. It is not godly because it actually promotes covetousness and worldliness and materialism and a love for money. And the result is that many people today are actually guilty of loving the world. Now, Just as soon as anybody begins to preach about these things, the first thing that people respond is by saying, well, what do you want me to do, Brother Blair, live in a tent? As though poverty would cure this problem. So I'm not promoting poverty, and John was not either. But what John was saying and what I am saying is that we need to know when we cross the line between honorably working to meet our needs, to support our family, and so that we can give to God, and simply feeding our lust to have more stuff. And all that I'm saying is that if you feed on a steady diet of worldly information and carnal and unbiblical preaching and teaching, the line between your needs being met and loving the world will either be very blurred or non-existent in your life. In fact, I'm flabbergasted at how many people today actually believe that overcoming the world is accomplished by becoming more worldly, by accumulating more possessions, by praying prayers of greed and covetousness. Listen, teaching people that God wants them to have everything they can dream of now is contrary to the infallible word of the living God that teaches clearly and repeatedly that for anyone to love this present world is to prove without any doubt that the love of the Father is not in them. And so it is impossible, dear friends, for any human being to love God and love money at the same time. It's not hard. The Bible says it's impossible. Now, people tell me all the time that they're able to do both, that they can walk that tightrope between having an abundance of things while somehow not loving those things. And I find that kind of statement very strange, because why in the world would you pray about getting stuff that you really don't want in the first place? Why in the world would you seek to have God give you things that you in turn would cast away as being bad? I mean, either getting more stuff and loving money and being covetous and loving the world is the object of faith, or it's not. And if it is, then we need to ignore what John teaches here and go out and get as much stuff as we can while we're alive. But if the world and all that it offers is not the object of faith, if faith is not a tool that we can learn how to use to twist God's arm so he will give us whatever our hearts lust after, and if Jesus is the object of our faith, and if one of the greatest joys that a human being can know in this life is for him to attain to a place of godly contentment with that which God has already supplied, then what John teaches here is true. And so rather than abandoning ourselves into loving the world, we need to abandon ourselves into loving Jesus Christ and doing his will and trusting in his promises to the end that we will not love the world, but that we will overcome the world. And this is why all of this matters. John says here in 1 John 2 and again in 1 John 5 that loving the world means that the love of the Father is not in us. And then John says there is an escape from this wicked sin of world love, and that escape is our faith. Faith in what? Well, faith in what God has said. You see, dear friends, genuine biblical faith always has as its object Jesus Christ, and never anything that is temporary or that is passing away or that God defines in the Scripture as being sinful. That's not faith. That's covetousness. And let me give you a very clear example right here in the Bible about what I'm talking about. I want you to turn with me, and I want you to read a very obscure verse, but a very powerful verse that describes this kind of radical love and trust and faith, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. And it says this, "For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizing of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." Now, the reason that I consider this very obscure verse to be one of the most important verses in the entire New Testament is that this verse illustrates genuine Christianity in action. It shows us what real faith does and what real faith looks like. Now, most people would focus on the fact that in this verse, the people of this small little first century church went to the prison and ministered to the needs of the prisoners. And that's just fine, because they did do that. But I want you to go a little further into this verse and look at the next part of verse 34 that says, and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Now, the word that was translated here, seizure, comes from the Greek word that means to confiscate or to take away. So we can see that the great persecution was brought to these people as they had their property taken away from them or confiscated. But many people suffer loss. Both saved and unsaved people suffer the loss of things during times of war or during natural disasters. So what's so special about this? Well, what makes this so special and what makes it unique and what makes this an example of biblical Christianity is that these people didn't just suffer the loss of their goods, but as they lost all that they owned, the Bible says they lost it with joy. These first century saints suffered the loss of all that they owned at the hands of evil men, and the Bible says that they went through this persecution with joy. Now, I'm curious as to just how a person can get to the place where he can lose all that he has, and yet his joy grows, rather than being overwhelmed with defeat and a sense of hopelessness. And I want to remind you, these are not people who had insurance that was going to reimburse them for what was taken away from them. These people lost all that they had, they lost it with joy, and they never got it back. And they still had joy. The last part of Hebrews 10:34 gives us the key. So I want to read that last part again together, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. The writer of Hebrews says that these first century believers were able to have everything they owned in this life taken away from them unjustly, and they were able to genuinely joy over that loss precisely because they knew in themselves that they had in heaven a far better substance than anything they had down here, and they had in heaven a more enduring substance than anything they had down here. In other words, because their faith in the promise of God that heaven is infinitely better than anything on earth was strong and confident, because they really trusted that what God said about heaven was true, these believers were able to escape the trap of loving this present world, and they were able to escape the trap of loving money. They were able to escape the trap of covetousness and greed and materialism. And the loss of the temporary things that are passing away was not devastating to them, but was in fact a means by which they could express godly joy. Now that is faith in action. That is true, genuine, biblical faith at work in the lives of real people who fully trusted in what God promised about heaven, to the degree that the loss of the things of this earth only brought them joy. Truly, this is a real life example of what John was talking about here when he said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So contrary to what many of the popular television evangelists are teaching about faith today, real faith, true faith, genuine faith, biblical faith is not a tool that we can use to get out of God whatever our lustful hearts crave after, but is a means of grace whereby we can trust fully in the sure and certain promises of God to the point where we no longer love the world, where we are no longer ensnared by the lie of worldliness, where we are delivered from the prison of loving money, where we are set free from being driven by the lust of the flesh and the lusts of the eye and the boastful pride of life, and we can trust that we have a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.